Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Podcast Manager Show. Today, I'm talking to Sarah Penner about three powerful ways to network through podcasting. Sarah runs the Podcast Collab Club, where she connects people that want to be a guest on a show with hosts of podcasts. I'd heard some great things about her membership, the Podcast Collab Club, so I wanted to bring her on so her and I could talk about the best way to be a guest on a show, how us podcast managers can vet guests for our clients, and then other powerful ways that you can network on podcasts. So let's go talk to Sarah. Hey there, I'm Lauren, and you're listening to the Podcast Manager Show, a podcast for podcast managers. Each week, we cover the technical and tactical aspects of running a profitable podcast manager business. With over 90,000 new shows starting each month, podcast managers are in demand. And I'm here to help you land your dream clients while reaching your monthly income goals and without working like crazy. Are you ready? Let's get to today's episode. Hi, Sarah. Thank you so much for being on the show today. I'm excited to chat about networking and how we can use podcasting to form some new relationships.
Thanks so much for having me, Lauren. I really appreciate the opportunity to connect with you and your listeners. It's great to chat.
Yeah. So let's just start with, how did you get started working online?
I actually started exploring different ways to work online a few years ago. So after having three kids and moving around North America for my husband's school and work, we finally found ourselves in a place where we were a bit more settled. And so one of our goals, though, was for me to be able to stay home with our kids. So we've organized our life with this in mind. And it actually has given me the freedom to try the work-at-home world in various ways. So being the researcher that I am, I've looked at least 101 different possibilities. And essentially, one thing led to another, which has led me to the place that I am today, helping to connect podcast guests and hosts from around the world for the purpose of creating amazing podcasts together. And so after being in a lot of Facebook groups for entrepreneurs, I started to notice the trend of podcast hosts looking for guests and guests looking for podcasts to speak on. So this kind of sparked the idea that it might be helpful for hosting guests to have one central location dedicated just to this goal. So I decided to start a Facebook group exclusively for podcast guest collaborations. And then almost immediately, the group exploded and it hasn't stopped growing since day one. So that was just really the beginning of how I ended up doing what I'm doing today. And I really love to see all the networking that happens and the relationships being made, which enables the podcast medium to be the vehicle to change people's lives in so many positive ways. So it's been such a privilege to be a part of it and to help people make those connections. And naturally, I'm actually more of a behind the scenes kind of person. So it's super fun to facilitate the networking and to see other people in the spotlight.
Yeah, 100%. And it's so hard, I can attest to being on both sides of trying to get guests, helping my clients get guests, and now having my show trying to look for great guests. There's so many things that hold you back from finding great guests, like just the time investment that it takes, but also just actually locating those people. So I love that it's all in one spot so that whoever's looking for guests, at least a lot of people that are looking for guests, can come to this one group and find each other. But I have a question for you before we move on. You said that you went through a lot of online, or you looked at a lot of different options. Can you share with us like what one other thing that you tried that you ended up deciding wasn't the right fit?
Yes. So I love to make things with my hands. I love to do crafts and DIYs. So I had a few different things that I was kind of experimenting with. And one of my dreams would be able to just make things and sell things. But I had a good friend and she said, I live in Canada. And she said, you know, you've got to be really careful about the insurance aspect. Just even whatever you sell, you have to just make sure you have insurance to cover something that might come up. So I started looking into different insurance opportunities and found that it was just through the roof expensive to insure a product that was going to be shipped outside of Canada. So that kind of just put some limitations on us because I was like, I don't want to be investing right now in something that, you know, is such a baby idea. And so it just kind of got me thinking, what's some other directions that I can go in right now?
Yeah. And when you're just starting out, it is so hard to know, like, okay, do I go all in on this one idea and maybe not feel like I can pivot? When you're starting your own business, you don't know how long you're going to be in this one spot. It could go really well. You might need to pivot. So, man, I totally feel you on that.
Yes. And I've pivoted several times and I always think to myself, oh, I'm so glad I didn't make a huge investment into that particular thing because it just kind of morphs and changes as I go. So, but now I feel like I'm in a spot where I'm like, okay, things are moving well and keep going in this direction for sure.
Yeah, that's good. So I know, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners know that podcasting is so great for networking. And there's a lot of different ways that we can network with podcasts. So what's your favorite way to network through podcasts?
I think being willing to be on other podcasts can be an amazing way to network for both entrepreneurs who want to be guests and for podcast hosts themselves. So it definitely can expand your reach and allow you to share your message with people that you may never have had, that will never have the chance to be in front of otherwise. Mm-hmm. So it can really help to create those connections and build support around you, which is an added benefit. And so I really think it depends on what your goals are too. I know a lot of people in the Facebook group, they have a message from like their life experiences that they've had, and they're really passionate about sharing that message. And so their goal might be to get their message out there to just as many people as possible. Mm. So for them, the networking might look a little bit different. So they may be less selective about what podcasts they go on, as they're generally looking to have those conversations with quite a variety of people so they can get their message out there far and wide. But then there's also a lot of entrepreneurs, obviously, who are in a place where they really need to be careful about balancing their time. And they have to be more selective and particular about how many podcasts they go on. So in that case, it's really important to go where your target audience actually is. And it's good to look for complementary audiences and kind of think of different ways where you can provide your expertise to different audiences other than your own. But overall, podcast collaborations can be super powerful because they allow for that human-to-human contact and the actual real-time two-way conversations that you just can't get through some of the social media or other online platforms. So I would say it's really about building authentic relationships with others, whether that's with guests or other podcasters or listeners. And so podcasts are just a great way to foster that know, like, and trust factor, which is just hugely important.
Yeah, definitely. And then, like you said, once a podcast host meets a guest, they then know each other on a level that they don't know a lot of other people in the online space. And so then, for an example, the host could then maybe refer the guest to another show or another opportunity. It kind of opens your mind. So now that you kind of know the person better because you're on a call with them, essentially, they know, oh, hey, this person would be great for whatever this opportunity that I heard of.
Yeah, exactly. And I see that happening a lot in the membership that I have that goes along with the Facebook group. There's just so many great connections that happen and people connecting people. And it's just amazing to see that happen and just the community aspect of it, of how can I help you? And in turn, you know, other people are helping me as well. So that's pretty great to see.
Yeah. So one of the ways that I learned about you was that some of the students in my course were telling me about your membership. And they're like, hey, because we're always chatting about like, hey, how do we find our clients' great guests? Mm-hmm. And it's easy to find the people that are on every show right now. People are very visible, but it's harder to find the people in the middle that have a lot of great value. Or like you said, they've got a great story to tell, but they're just harder to find. So we're always talking about that. And some of them were telling me about your membership. So for that type of person, a podcast manager that's looking for guests for their clients, do you have a tip for them on how to vet guests before they welcome them onto their client's show?
Yeah, for sure. And I know one of the most important things about finding ideal podcast guests that probably a lot of your listener knows is that the guest needs to align with the podcast's purpose and the audience, and also that value can be added to serve the audience. So it can be really important to take the time to find guests who can check both of those boxes. And as I mentioned earlier, I run a podcast guest collaboration group. And so right now it's sitting at over 13,000 members. And while the group is full of tons of networking opportunities, it also has its drawbacks in that a podcaster can go and post a request for guests in the group and receive hundreds of responses in the comments from people who want to be a guest on their show. But there's some common problems that really come up with this method and platform, as great as it is in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
Many of the responses received can be irrelevant to the actual request, simply because the commenter has not taken the time to thoroughly read the request to see if they're a good fit and to make sure they actually have something of value to offer that particular audience. So although I really do stress the importance of this in my communication with the group members, as you can imagine, with 13,000 people, it does happen a lot where it's just not a good fit.
Mm-hmm.
So that causes frustration. And also some of the pitches and response can be so vague, and it can be hard for the podcaster to sort through those hundreds of them to find the right matches for them. So I would say if you're using a group like that, that it's really important to be super clear in your post about who your audience is and exactly what type of guests you're looking for. Even better, I think it's a wise idea to include a link to an application form. So not only does this weed out some of the people who are not very serious about it and likely won't follow through anyways, but also can help to keep things organized as a host as you're kind of going through and picking the people. And you'll obviously get less responses in your application than you would in the comments of your post. Personally, I really like the idea of doing pre-interview chats as well. So although this costs the host more time, I've heard over and over that it can really help to determine if the guest is the right fit before going through with all the other aspects involved in having a guest. So not only do you want to find someone who aligns with your audience, but also someone who vibes with you as a host to help create those great conversations, it can be really important. Other great ways to vet guests is to take a listen to other speaking appearances that the guest has done, or even just checking the potential guest's website, their social media, to see if they have any lives or YouTube videos that you can check out. And that can be a pretty good indicator of whether you think the guest will be the right fit for you. So it definitely can be time consuming, though, that's for sure.
Yeah, I was actually just thinking that when you said the pre-interview piece, was that I was thinking, okay, I don't do pre-interviews for my clients. So would that be something a podcast manager would do, or would the host do it? And I think you could decide that among your different clients on if you get on a call or if they get on a call. But I think especially if it's a very niche podcast and they're looking for like a specific type of person, that would be smart. But what I do now is just like you said, and that third point was that looking at YouTube videos that they've done, looking at any sort of speaking that they've done, because you can really get a feel for someone even by just listening to them for a couple of minutes.
Yeah, for sure. I think that could be a super helpful way to do it and time efficient so that you're not scheduling and having that extra conversation if it's not necessarily needed.
Yeah. And I have done a couple of those for my clients, but it's not something I like to regularly do. But maybe someone else listening, that's kind of a way that they could up-level their service, is to say, hey, I'm going to get on a call with maybe most of the guests that I book for you. And I'm sure clients would probably think, wow.
Yeah.
Especially once you developed a relationship with them, they're like, wow, that's awesome. Now I have someone that's doing all of this legwork for me. So yeah, I think that's one thing that someone could think about in kind of up-leveling their services.
Yeah, and definitely a harder way to go, because if you're trying to match personalities, you're not the actual host. But mm-hmm. if you know the host well, and you know what they're looking for, what their energy is like, then that can work out. And I have seen podcast managers offering that service as well. So I guess, yeah, it depends on who you're serving for sure.
Yeah. And you brought up that the classic, like you post on a Facebook group and you get like a million responses and 10 of them are good and you have to put in all of that legwork to find those 10. What are some of the things that you're doing in your Facebook community group to help with that? Are you just trying to like make it as bold as possible that please read?
Well, whenever people join the group, there's always a welcome post. You know, I'll do it about once a week where I can tag all the new members. So I tag all the new members, and in that welcome post in the Facebook group, I emphasize, you know, at least 2 times, please make sure to read the post carefully, make sure you're a good fit, make sure you have something to offer. And so I'm just really trying to stress that. And then I send out kind of a welcome email as well, which links to that post. So I'm really trying to get the eyeballs on that post to see, okay, this is how the group is going to stay functioning well and high quality, but not everyone reads all the communications. So that can be pretty tricky.
Right. Yeah. You know, we've kind of talked about getting on shows, and then also if you're a podcast host, getting people on your show. But what are some other ways that you've seen people networking through podcasting?
Well, like you had mentioned before, just, you know, the connections being made can go beyond podcasting. And so as you've probably experienced, you know, it's like the snowball effect, where it's a small snowball starting at the top of the hill. And as it traveling down the hill, it gathers more and more snow growing in size. So I kind of see that image when I'm thinking about people connecting with each other and how it goes so far beyond just that one interview. So not only can it be a great way to introduce each other to, you know, the guest and the host to each other's communities, because they can both share about the podcast, but also then being introduced to those communities can open up more networking opportunities as well. So essentially, like, podcasts can be a great starting point for other types of collaborations that can be beneficial to the guests, to the hosts, and their audience, just even beyond the podcast listeners. So that's where continuing the relationship after the podcast interview can be really important. So not only does it allow for friendships to continue, but it can also open doors for other types of collaborations as well. So whether that's through summits, in-person events, guest trainings in other courses and memberships, Facebook Lives and Facebook groups and on Facebook pages, guest appearances in YouTube videos, guest blogging on websites, and now Clubhouse is new, so it can kind of go into that as well. So I've also seen networking happen in the way that some hosts will provide live coaching sessions with their ideal client as their guest. Mm. And so that can be another way to benefit the audience while also providing additional value to the guest as well. And then some podcasters always also really like to work with each other and do things like cross promotions or podcast swaps. So some of the examples of this could be giving a shout out on each other's podcast, playing a custom soundbite or trailer on each other's podcast, sharing each other's social media, being a guest or co-host on each other's podcast, including the reference or link in the show notes, and so on. So there's a lot of options if you get creative with it. And I'd say in general, it's a phenomenal vehicle for networking for all those reasons, but also can have the added benefit of providing amazing friendships. So I know in the entrepreneurial space, it can be really easy to be in a place where you just feel like you're working alone a lot of the time. Mm. So it's a great way to establish a community around you of like-minded entrepreneurs who can help you in various ways. Even just getting great ideas for your podcast, as well as seeing things from a new perspective. And not to mention the support that can also be found.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And even I'm thinking for podcasters that are not in the like business entrepreneur space, maybe they are starting a podcast that they're talking about some sort of topic that they're really passionate about. They can also connect with other podcasters that have similar topics or whatnot, whereas maybe they wouldn't be in a lot of networking groups outside of that. So yeah, the networking is pretty crazy. And you brought up Clubhouse. I actually feel like Clubhouse can also be used as that pre-interview chat. And it's probably not going to be like a one-on-one. It'd probably be in a group with a couple more people, but you can hear the person talk and feel their vibe, see if it'd be a good fit. So I didn't think about that until you brought it up again.
Yeah, I know. I just got in, so I haven't really spent so much time on it, but it does sound like there's amazing networking that's happening in there as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. It kind of feels like a live event. Do you find that?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So, or even just you meet someone on Clubhouse and think, oh, wow, they'd be an amazing guest. Mm-hmm. There you go. And that's why it's used for networking.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds awesome. Can you tell us a little bit more about the Podcast Collaborative Club? So this is your membership that's separate from the Facebook group, right?
Right. Yeah. So the Podcast Collab Club is the membership that goes along with the Facebook group. My business is the Podcast Collaborative, and then the club is that membership. And so as we talked about, as the Facebook group, it's called the Podcast Guest Collaboration Community Facebook group. As it's grown, it's become a great place for finding opportunities, but it can be noisy and chaotic. And it has a lot of the vetting problems that I mentioned before. So the Facebook group search is also super tricky, I find. So it's not really easy to find relevant posts when you're searching. So sometimes I can't even find a particular post that I know is in the group, and I'm searching for it with the search. I know the word is in there and it just doesn't come up. So it's just not really an efficient, streamlined way. So I decided to create a place where hosts and guests who are serious about finding those aligned connections can come together in a more organized, efficient, and streamlined manner. And so I added a lot of different features to the membership to make the networking easier. So I'll just go through some of the features.
Yeah.
It has a separate guest and host listing. So every member can choose to create their own listings as a guest, a host, or both if they would like. And they also have access to view the listings as well. So the directory is filling up with some amazing guests and hosts who connect with each other that way. And then, as mentioned, the vetting can be really time consuming. So one of the most important parts of the membership for me is that the listings provide really thorough information about the guest and host. So it's not your typical short bio with a few links, but it contains a really detailed set of information that the guest and a host fill out about themselves so that you can get all the details you need in just one place. So you're not searching all over. There's links to their past appearances and things like that as well. And then you're not searching all over the internet. You can kind of come to this one place and see everything in the one spot. So that was really important to me in designing it. There's also the podcast discovery database, which essentially provides even more guesting opportunities for hosts and guests. And as an entrepreneur, I know that time is of the essence. So I decided to provide even more help by helping members to cut down on the research portion of finding podcasts to pitch to. So it's a growing list of over 1,000 podcasts that are currently active and accept guests, and I add to the collection every week. They're also searchable by category, and the list is updated and added to and regularly checked to make sure it's current. So this can really cut down on the research time. There's also a couple of guides that go along with the membership. One is for guests to help them on their journey, and one is for hosts as well. And so the guide for hosts, it contains, you know, how to find and choose good guests, steps to take before, during, and after the interview, a planner section for planning out episodes and your podcast goals, and helping you to keep track of all the steps along the way from the beginning to the end, even of sharing on social media and other tasks to make the most of the interview episodes. And then last but not least, I'll save the best for last, we have our virtual networking sessions where every month hosts and guests come together and we break off into small groups where introductions can be made and those face-to-face interactions can happen. So the meetings are a really powerful way to get to know and network with other people in the membership, and it just provides that community feel. And it can be a super time efficient way to vet guests as well. So you can get a pretty good idea of who will be a good match and then connect with them further after the meetings. So I'm also thinking about adding a new level that has some training. And so I don't consider myself an expert in guesting or podcasting. Rather, my role is more to be the facilitator and the curator. So I hope to pull in down the road some experts and peer-led speakers to share on various topics that pertain to podcast collaborations, as I know some members are interested in that as well. So as I always say, the best podcasts come from the best conversations. So my goal through what I've created is to help others find the people who they really want to talk to and allow them to make that impact in an ever-expanding circle.
Yeah. And to backtrack on what you said, so there's a spot where the individual who the host or the guest, whoever it is, they have their own listing. And then you've added podcasts that are not necessarily, their host isn't in the group necessarily. You just know that they're accepting guests. So you've added them to the directory. Is that right?
Yeah. And it's a separate list. So as a guest, you can go in and see the host list. Okay, these are the members of the club. And then there's the discovery databases, which is the research I've done to collect all of those. So those listings obviously aren't as thorough because I don't have that insider information. But it does have stuff like the number of episodes, the launch date, where you can sort by all those things to figure out what's important to you. And then you can go through and pitch to those podcasts.
Yeah. And what is some of the most important things that people want to know about a show or about a guest before they bring them on? Like, is it Instagram followers? Is it something else? I mean, the topic, of course, is important, but what are you kind of feeling out from your Facebook group or from the club on, like, what is the most important piece that people are looking for?
Yeah, it's interesting because when I was doing my research to create it, I talked to a lot of podcasters. I talked to a lot of guests. And what I kept hearing over and over again was the alignment. So that's kind of the main thing. But like you said, there's other things too. Some people, they would say, I want to know how many Instagram followers they have. And that's super important to them. Some people say, I don't care how many Instagram followers they have. I just want them to have, even if they have 10 really devoted listeners, then that's good for me. So I think it's really subjective in that way. So when I designed it, I created the fields so that it would kind of match both of those desires. So there's a section for, if you're a guest looking to be on a podcast, there's a section for, you know, as a podcast host, how do you promote your podcast? Who is your audience? And that kind of thing. And links to their Instagram and their Facebook. So you can just quickly click and see, okay, this is how many they have, if those things are important to you.
Yeah, I agree. I find it's very subjective as well and how much people care about any sort of metric. Some people care about some metrics over others. So that's interesting to hear your perspective on that because, you know, obviously Instagram's a vanity metric. So it's like, just because they have 10,000 followers, you don't know, like, are they even going to be a good speaker? Is it going to be an alignment? So it's always interesting to hear from other people.
Yeah, for sure. And it's interesting to hear how some guests are really focused on how many listeners does this podcast have? How many downloads does this podcast have? Some podcasters, they don't like that question. To them, it's not relevant. And so I put a field in there where it's an optional field. So you can include how many downloads you have if you would like, but you can leave it blank as well. So either way, it's up to them.
Yeah, I think that maybe podcasters find that to be like intrusive. And we can all see each other's Instagram followers, but we can't see like how big your email list is or how many downloads of your podcast you have. Those feel more private.
Yes.
You know, and also I think maybe the reason that podcasters don't love to share that number is because most people think their downloads are lower than they should be.
Right.
People think like, oh, well, I only have 200 downloads an episode. It's like, yeah, because we're used to thinking these huge numbers on social media. We're just accustomed to 10K followers, which is a crazy amount of people in its own thought. But I remind people, like, if you had 200 people sitting in a room listening to you talk for 45 minutes, you would probably be blown away.
Exactly.
Not to mention 500 people, 1,000 people, like, that would be crazy, right?
Right.
So yeah, it's podcasters, I feel, are like scared to, or not really scared, but like, they're just like, oh, I should have more. And it's like, it says who?
Exactly. And even if you just have those 10 people who are just, you know, devoted listeners and who are that ideal audience, then you're reaching 10 more people than you would have otherwise. So,
yeah, so true. Well, that is so cool to hear. How can the listeners connect with you and learn more about the club?
They can go to my website. It is thepodcastcollaborative.com. You got to get the in there to get there. And that's the website. And on the website, the top menu is the link to the Facebook group if anybody wants to go check that out as well.
Okay, awesome. Well, it was so good to have you, Sarah. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you so much, Lauren. It's been great to chat with you.
Thanks so much for hanging out with me today. Come connect with me over on Instagram at Lauren Wrighton or in the Podcast Manager Mastermind on Facebook. And let me know what you liked about this episode. You can always find the links and resources mentioned in this show over at laurenwrighton.com. Until next time, I'll be cheering you on.